Are you guys feeling no kind? Oh, man. That kind of stuff kills me. Man, but that's all right. You're in church today, and you guys didn't come alone, even if you're the only person in your family here, so you didn't come alone because Jesus is here with you, but that's all right. That's all right. The nice thing about church is you can come in feeling down, and you can leave this place feeling up. I was going to say hi, but we don't do that here. But you know what, man? Here's what I believe. Is nobody's here by accident. You know, God's got a purpose for your life. You know, Pastor Michelle was kind of saying a little bit earlier. You know, make no mistake about it. There is no mistake about you. And the truth of the matter is you guys are here and God has a plan and a purpose and a meaning behind your life today. And so today, I don't know if you came expecting anything, but God's got something he wants to share with you. So, tonight, do you mind if we get in the Word today? All right. Good answer. Let's go and pray real quick. We'll jump into the Word. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you for your graciousness. God, we thank you that you are like nobody else. So, God, we pray that tonight you speak to us as only you can. God, that you would move in our heart as only you can. And, God, today, Lord, as we dive into this Bible, God, I pray that it's more than a book, more than paper, more than ink, but, God, there's life to us. I mean, God, there's a reason you saved this book for thousands of years. And God, I just refuse to believe it's outdated. But God, I believe that God, when you write something good, you don't need to change it. Lord, help us understand your unchangeable truth tonight as we give our attention to you. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Everybody, house said? Amen, amen. If you guys got your Bibles, go turn to Galatians, the 6th chapter, real quick. It goes, it's on the right-hand side. If you don't know where it's at, Galatians, it's at the G. And Ephesians, you take a left turn. We're getting into fall now. We just passed spring and summer. It's Thanksgiving. It's getting ready for Christmas time. I don't know about you. I'm pretty excited about that. The weather is kind of beginning to change. It's kind of schizophrenic right now. It doesn't really know what it's going to do. It's like cold in the morning. It's like hot in the afternoon. Kind of really bothers me. It's like, look, I wore a sweater and now you want me to take it off weather? What's the deal with that? Come on, son. You got to help me out here. Help a brother out. Anyway, one thing, you know, I really appreciated about summer and spring is, you know, I have a really large backyard and there's like a lot of plants. We did like a little farm thing with corn and all that kind of stuff. But we have a lot of bugs and we have a lot of butterflies. Has anybody ever seen like a beautiful, like orange, like monarch butterfly? They're just like, it just makes you like 5 years old all again. You just want to like chase it and like prance in the grass and stuff like that. Have you guys ever seen a cocoon? Yeah. Okay, have you ever seen them like leave? Have you ever seen like a cocoon open and stuff like that? Yeah. No, it's kind of bizarre. And I remember hearing a story about a butterfly years ago, and you know it's kind of crazy the way it all works out, but the story goes a little like this. Is there's a man, and he was just kind of, you know, just spacing out. He was staring out of his window at his backyard, and he had noticed that in a tree out in his backyard that there was a cocoon, and it began to shake. And the cocoon began to shake, and it began to wiggle and stuff like that. And so he was really intrigued by it. He'd never really seen something like this happen. So he went outside and he got it. He found it. And it was, and it had fallen as he was going, it had fallen off under the ground. So he picked it up. He had brought it in the house and he was watching it just kind of move and shake and the butterfly inside of it, you know, I mean, it was a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. The caterpillar inside of it was trying to get out and he was watching it and he began to feel really bad for it. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like trying to watch, it's watching somebody struggle. And he began to feel really bad for it. And he was like getting all sensitive and compassionate. So he decided, you know, I'm gonna help this guy out. You know, I'm gonna help this little bug out. So he had got out a little knife and he had put a couple little slices in the cocoon to kind of give the brother a hand. Because that's what you do. You give a brother a hand. Anyway, well, it worked because the butterfly began to kind of like squirm a little bit more. The cocoon began to kind of open up a lot faster. And the strangest thing happened is that it broke out, but it didn't look like a butterfly. It was like this gross, pulpy, yucky, swollen bug thing. It was like it looked all mutant like, and he was like, its wings were not like what it needed to be, and it was really kind of gross. It was, he felt really, he's like, He felt like he got gypped, you know? And anyway, it began to kind of wiggle around a little bit, and eventually it died. And it really bothered him. Well, what had happened is this, the man later found out that he had killed it. And he didn't kill it because he had stabbed it or cut it or sliced it. He had killed it because he helped it. You see, the problem that he didn't realize was that by him cutting the cocoon, he didn't help it out. He had actually doomed it to die. Because the caterpillar, the butterfly, it needs the struggle. It needs the struggle to be able to get out the cocoon. And it needs to have the hole as small as possible so it could squirgle and squirm through. Because what happens is, as it does that, all the juices and all the butterfly goo on the inside of it, as it goes through the hole, it begins to force it through its body into its wings. The nutrients and the goo and stuff. I mean, it's a long struggle that happens. And eventually what happens is, through all the moving and squirming and struggling, it pushes all the insides into the wings, which makes it form into what it needs to be. Now, the problem was, it was too easy for the bug. It was too easy. So what was on the inside never got to the outside. And it didn't form properly. It died. So the worst thing that bug could have ever happened to it was that somebody would help it out. It needed the struggle to mature. Now, you see, a lot of times in life, we grow up and we think the goal is to live a comfortable life. The goal is to get things easy. The goal is to make enough money and have a pretty enough wife with good enough kids, the nicest dog with the white picket fence, and to make a lot of money. And we think the goal is this, is air conditioning. It's air conditioning and ice cream and a nice 5-story house with enough money in the bank. And the truth of the matter is that is not God's best plan for us. You see, God's plan for us is a process. I love what it says in Galatians. I know you're there. I gave you enough time to get there. But in Galatians, the 6th chapter, there's a verse that says this. It says, let us not grow weary in doing good things, because in due season we'll reap if we do not give up. Now, the only reason God would ever tell us something like that is because, number one, is you want to give up. Can a brother get an amen in the house? The only reason God has tell you something like that is because you're going to get sick and tired of doing what you're doing. You ever been sick and tired before? I woke up sick and tired this morning. I got a kid right now. I have a 1-year-old child, and she's teething. And for the past week, she has decided it is a good idea to wake up at 3:30 in the morning. And every 15 minutes, scream at me. Yeah, I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of molars. That's what I am. Sick and tired of molars. It doesn't make any sense. It's ridiculous. She doesn't sleep. I don't sleep. It's terrible. Terrible. But you see, it's part of the process. One thing I have learned in my short years on this earth is that God's a God of process. See, God doesn't skip steps. God doesn't fast track people. Look, Jesus is not Disneyland, okay? You don't get a ticket and come back in an hour and you get to the front of the line. That's not the way it works. You got to wait in line like everybody else. The way God works is step 1 to step 2, step 2 to step 3, step 3 to step 4. After step 4, guess what? Step 5. You can't skip step 4. Uh-uh. Got to play that game. God is a God of process. And me and you, the only way, you know, Pastor Michelle's talking about dreams, the only way to get to the dream that God's put inside of your heart is to follow God step after step. And see, when you try, when I try, when we try to skip steps, we end up like that caterpillar. We end up like that. We end up like that butterfly that ended up getting a shortcut out of the cocoon. And all the things that God wants to get in us, out of us, are stuck in us, and it rots us on the inside. And the only way to do that is through process. Pastor Richard, this sounds terrible. Yeah, I know, but that's just the way life is. That's the way it works out. See, the Bible says, do not grow weary in doing good. I don't know why you're going through what you're going through. I don't know why life gets difficult sometimes, but I do know that sometimes it is the hardest parts of life that give us the greatest joys in our future. You see, sometimes we just wish that God would take our problems away or that God would fast forward that part of our life. But God's telling us, no. This is one of the most important parts of your life that you need to get through it so you can get over it and become strong enough to help other people over that bump in life. You can't shortcut it. Look, I know you're upset. I know you're disappointed. Look, I know it's too difficult. I know you want to quit and give up. But the Bible says do not quit because the worst things that could happen to that caterpillar in that cocoon was, number one, it would stop wiggling and it would die. And secondly, is what happened to it is the man, somebody would shortcut it and it didn't. It could not live in the fullness of its life. Why? Because what was in it did not get out of it, and it killed it. Wouldn't it be terrible if God gave you your dream, but because you did not have the character or the strength inside of your heart to handle it, your very dream destroyed you? Every 3-4 years, you'll see it. You'll see it in Hollywood. A man, a woman becomes famous, rich. People around the world love them. But they hate themselves. They got the dream, but the dream killed them because their heart was not strong enough to hold the dream in the right place. That's crazy. Isn't that crazy? It blows my mind every time I see that. I mean, when somebody gets everything they've ever asked for and they still got to turn to drugs, they still got to turn to alcohol, they still got to turn to partying and all this other kind of wasteful living, it's because they weren't strong enough on the inside. They didn't go through the process. You see, With this, you got to realize that you have to trust the path God takes you down. You've got to trust the process. You've got to trust the steps. It doesn't make sense at times. See, the craziest thing is going through life, it can feel like you're going backwards, but it only feels like that. Sometimes going forwards feels like going backwards.
That doesn't really make a lot of sense, does it? Right?
Okay, I was telling you guys about my daughter, right? She's getting teeth. Okay, I think we could all agree that having teeth is wonderful. Can I get an amen? Look, I see some of you guys chewing your gum. You guys went to In-N-Out. Maybe you guys went down to a little Thai food restaurant sometime earlier this week. Making it happen. Look at you guys. Some of you guys had a nice smile. I know I seen it on Instagram. Got them choppers. Looking beautiful, looking wonderful. Having teeth is wonderful. And that's a ridiculous statement to say because it's so stupid, because it's so like... Duh, Pastor Rich, you ain't got to preach that. I already know that. Having teeth is wonderful. Getting teeth is terrible. 3:30 in the morning. Jesus ain't even awake at that time. I can hear the snooze button in heaven. No, that's just a joke. Jesus is awake. I'm just too dumb to hear him at that time. But it's true. Getting teeth is terrible. My daughter, if you look at her gums, they're like bubbling. They're like disgusting. They're nasty. She's drooling everywhere. She's biting things you shouldn't be biting. She's hitting me. It's terrible. It's terrible getting teeth. And then you begin to see them. Then you begin to see the white part sticking out of it. It's not even out yet. It's like this big, white, nasty bubble. And then all of a sudden, bam, there's a hole in your face. And it's got to happen like 32 times. It's terrible. Terrible. Having teeth is wonderful. Getting teeth is terrible. It's the process, though. You think, if this is so good, how come it hurts? I hate it. There's holes in my mouth. It's going to bleed. It's going to blow up. Feels like there's an animal trying to claw out my gums, and it hurts every second of the day. I figure that's what my daughter would say. But you've got to trust the process. Sometimes life hurts. Now, God's not sick, God's not mean, God's not rude, God's not terrible, God's not trying to hurt you because God gets a kick out of that. No. Sometimes it's just part of the process. We'll agree with the other. Look, a brother want to get swole? You're going to get sore. If you want to win, if you want to win your track meets, then you've got to eat some terrible tasting stuff, and you've got to run harder than you've ever ran before. Look, sometimes to do great things requires great pain. It's part of the process. But if you run away from the pain, then you run away from the process, and you got to do it all over again. There's this crazy verse in Genesis 50. I'm gonna speed this one up a little bit. In Genesis 50, in verse 19, the story of a man named Joseph. And maybe you've heard this story before, but Joseph was given a dream that he'd be in charge. God gave Joseph a dream that was unusual. He said that you would be somebody people look up to. You would do great things. And the crazy part is that Joseph went every other way than where God told him to go. Now, it wasn't because he was doing the wrong thing. It was because he was doing the right thing. All Joseph was doing the right thing. What happens? His family turns his back on him, throws him in a pit. They beat him up. Yeah, they're going to kill him, but then they figure they're getting too much trouble, so they don't kill him. They pick him up. They sell him to slavery. He ends up being a slave for years. After he's a slave for years, he gets framed for doing what he doesn't want to do. God, how are you going to tell me ending up in jail as a slave is going to get me in charge? That's the exact opposite. What's a slave in charge of? Nothing. The slave isn't even in charge of his own life. How are you going to tell me a slave is going to be the boss? He goes backwards before he can go forwards. But what does Joseph do? He trusts the process. God, this hurts. God, this is backwards. God, this doesn't make sense. God, this doesn't make no sense at all. But you're in charge. So where are you going to take me? He trusts God. From slavery to prison, to prison, to being betrayed by other prisoners, until finally, one day, his entire life changes. And it turns out that his 3 steps backwards put him in the right place to go 10 steps forward. If he would have tried to do it himself, he would never would have made it. But because he trusted God's leading, God took him through step 1 to 2 to 3 to 4, 4 to 5, 5 to 6, 6 to 7, all the way down through to 10. You see, he followed God, and all those difficult, hard, challenging things turned him into the man he needed to become the vice president, practically, of the greatest nation of the world, Egypt at the time. See, it's crazy. In Genesis 50, verse 20, it says here, let me go to verse 19. Joseph said to his brothers, the brothers that betrayed him, the brothers that tried to kill him and sold him as slaves, he looked at these guys in the eyes and said, look, don't fear, for am I in the place of God? He knew. He was in the place of God in prison. He was in the place of God in slavery. And now he was in the place of God being second in charge of this nation. He says, as for you, you meant evil against me. You tried to make me go backwards, but God meant me stepping backwards for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So don't fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. See, it's crazy. What looked like evil became God's best for him. That doesn't make no sense. But neither does getting teeth. That doesn't make any sense. Why can't I just be born with a bunch of teeth? Seriously, God? Probably for lots of reasons. Anyway, that'd be kind of scary having a kid. Kid be born, you know, slap the baby. He's all, yeah. That'd be creepy. We're like, that's not mine. Take it back. Take it back. I want my money back. Take that thing away. You got to trust the process. God knows better than me. God knows better than you. So just trust him. I don't get it. But if I got it, then I'd be God. But I'm not. Just trust the one who is God. See what I'm saying? Secondly, this is is you got to trust the process, work the method. Pastor Richard, this is weird. What are you talking about? Look, having teeth is wonderful. Keeping your teeth, see, not as exciting. Me using my teeth to bite a double-double, that's a good day. Me using my teeth, some yellow curry, that's a good day. Me using my teeth to eat a nice, crisp red apple, hey, that's all right. Me, I mean, they're not really white. They're more like a nice buttery yellow. But me smiling my best smile, people, that's a good day. But you know what? Keeping your teeth is a boring, long, repetitive, lifelong thing. Every 6 months, go to the dentist. Have some dude poke you in the mouth with metal hooks. That doesn't even sound right, you put it that way. Every morning you wake up, brush your teeth. Sing A, B, C, D. That's what you're supposed to do. Sing A, B, C twice, and then you're done brushing. That's what you have to do with your kids. And you do it in the morning, hopefully in the afternoon, and the evening. If you're really good, you'll floss. Put a piece of string in between each and every one of your teeth. You do it morning and night, morning and night, morning and night, morning and night. What's your favorite thing to do? Brushing my teeth. Yeah,
People don't say stuff like that. They don't say stuff like that. It's boring. But doing that boring thing keeps your teeth. See, a lot of times people look for God in the exciting moments. But the truth is, God's not always in this, just the exciting moments. God's right there in the middle, the boring part. But I don't feel Jesus. Yeah, I know. That's why it's called faith. Right? If you could feel Jesus all the time, you wouldn't need faith. You'd just be walking around with goosebumps all the time. Ooh, there he is. Ooh, there he is. Ooh, oh, he's not there. Oh, found him again. Ooh, there he is. No, Jesus don't work. Jesus does not work with goosebumps. That's not like the gift of the Spirit. You know, speaking in tongues and goosebumps. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. No goosebumps. You'll find Jesus in the boring times. See, you don't build an army in war. You build an army in peace. You don't build an army at the wartime. You build an army in peacetime. Now, that's not going to sell video games. Call of Duty, Ultimate Peace. That's not the way it works, right? You know, it's like, ooh, who are you going to be, the sniper? You going to be the rifleman? The grenader? No. I'm going to be the janitor. Assault mop. That's not the way it works. That doesn't sell video games. That doesn't sell movies. But that's how God builds an army, is in the peacetime. You keep your teeth by brushing them every day. You keep your teeth by doing the boring things. Reading your Bible? Uh-huh. Praying? That's right. Coming to church? You heard it. That's where you find Jesus. But I don't like this song. So what? Sing it anyway! That's how you build your relationship with God. It's in the mundane. It's in the method. There's a brother named David in 1 Samuel. Last verse. Going to get ready to shut this thing down. In 1 Samuel 17. In 1 Samuel 17, it tells David's secret. His secret of success. He's the greatest king of all of Israel. And his secret is ridiculous. See, David didn't become king. He didn't become king when he stepped onto the throne. David became king as a boy. He became king when he was doing the most boring of jobs, when he was doing the stuff that nobody else wanted to do. His brothers were out there fighting battles, winning wars, out there looking good for the ladies, and this boy David was stuck taking care of his dad's sheep. He had sheep duty, literally duty. He had sheep duty. He was in charge of taking in the cat and letting out the dog. That was his job. But it's in that job that God caused him to be the king. David learned how to be a king by doing boring things. Championships are won in practice. By doing the same drills over and over again. You don't get first place unless you run your drills. And David ran his drills. In 1 Samuel 17, the story of this boy, this teenager, comes up to the king ready to fight Goliath. It's a one-on-one death match. And they're looking for the one to go against the champion. And David comes up to this king, this teenage boy comes up to the king, and he begins to tell him why he should fight this giant. In Samuel 17, 33 through 38, the Bible says this. It says, David, Saul said to David, he said, look, you can't go against this guy. You can't fight this Philistine. You're a youth. You're a boy. You're a kid. And he's been a man of war since his youth. He's been killing people since you were in diapers. David said to Saul, he said, your servant, me, I used to keep sheep for my father. Not looking very good here. It's like, why should you go to war? Because I used to take care of my dad's cats. I don't know. It works, right? And when I was watching those sheep, it says, there came a lion, or there came a bear. And when that animal took a lamb from my father's flock, what happened? I went after him, and I struck him. I killed it. I delivered the animal out of his mouth. And if your servant has struck down both lions and bears, this uncircumcised Philistine, he's going to be just like them. He has defied the armies of the living God. And David said like this. He said, he should be like one of them. The Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. He said, deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said, sounds good enough for me. See, David did the boring thing time after time. And when God gave him small things, he was good with the small. He could trust him with the big. If you can't even do the small things, you'll never be able to do the big things. So stop knocking the small things. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why you got to do homework.
The homework's small. You can't do your homework. How are you going to do your reports when you're making six figures at a business one day? You can't do your chores. How are you going to own a house? You can't feed the dog, the hamster. How are you going to feed your children? I'm just saying, right? Look, you can't pick up the dog poop. Man, those children. You don't even want to know diapers, man. It's bad. Look, if you can't do the small, how do you expect the big? You got to graduate. Step one is small. Step one leads to step two. Still kind of small, but step two leads to step three. Step three, there's step four. Hey, these numbers are getting bigger. Step four to five, five to six, six to seven. You see what I'm saying? Never despise the small things God's put in your life. Because the small always leads to the big. The sheep led to the lion. Lion led to the bear. Bear led to the giant. Giant led to the throne. Step one, two, three, four, and five. Don't despise God's process. Because you got to go step by step. Don't despise doing boring things. Because it's the boring things that lead to an exciting life. Sometimes the most important things you'll ever do are the most boring things in life. Don't hate it. Begin to appreciate it. Don't look for God in only the exciting times. Look for God in between it. And if you find God in the boring times, oh, when you find God in the exciting times, slam, dunk, exponentially, mega, super, big, exciting times. Because look, anybody can find God when it's loud and crazy and exciting. But if you can learn to find God when it's boring, then how much more will you get from God when it's exciting? A soldier that trains in peacetime wins a war. Bottom line. You got to trust the process. You got to trust the process. It seems like you're going backwards, but really God's positioning you to go forwards. You've got to trust and work with the method. Look, I know it takes a long time. I know it's boring. And I know it seems like you got better things to do. I know it seems like you'll never use it again in your life. But you got to work it. Because if you can't do the small, you'll never do the big. If you guys got something I got to do, let's give him a praise. Man. I love it. In Galatians 6:9, it says this. Yeah, come on up. It says,